Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York, and this is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Microsoft reported record quarterly revenue thanks to the cloud. We'll have more in a moment from the Wall Street Journal's Asa Fitch. First, here are some tech headlines. Amazon.com is offering sellers on its platform marketing support, product reviews, and prominent display. The program is part of a push by Amazon to obtain a stable of exclusive brands for the platform. Is it a good deal for retailers? The Wall Street Journal's John Emon has more.
So this relatively new program is started in the spring of 2018, is called Amazon Accelerator. The program consists of Amazon offering third-party merchants certain advantages in terms of selling on its platform, which include access to Amazon marketing professionals to help them with their listings. It includes free customer reviews, an improved product placement. And in return for that, Amazon gains the right to acquire those brands for a fixed fee. So it could be an opportunity for brands that want to try to explode on Amazon and use some of Amazon's resources to become big on the platform. But the downside is that if they do become big and they do become successful, Amazon will be able to acquire them for a flat fee, which, according to the contract I've seen, is $10,000.
John Emon adds that some sellers who declined to join Accelerator said it made no sense to develop a brand only to have to give it up at a price that doesn't rise, regardless of the brand's success. Hey, kids, that's real money, not virtual. Wall Street Journal family and tech columnist Julie Jargon says kids playing video games spend virtual money on in-game purchases like weapons, tanks, etc., not realizing that the digital coins are tied to their parents' debit or credit cards. Quite frustrating for parents who are trying to teach their children good spending habits. The small dollar amounts, 20, 30 bucks spent here and there in games called microtransactions, are a lucrative business model for the gaming industry. While many games are now free to play, kids can use virtual currency backed by gift cards or their parents' bank accounts to buy digital goods. In-game spending globally last year totaled more than $93 billion, up from nearly $41 billion 5 years ago. That's according to Nielsen's SuperData Game Research Group.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Microsoft reported record quarterly revenue Thursday, lifted by cloud computing growth. Revenue rose 12% from the same period a year earlier to $33.7 billion for the company's fiscal fourth quarter ended in June, and that topped Wall Street's estimates. Profit in the quarter also topped expectations. With more on Microsoft's results, we're joined by the Wall Street Journal's Asa Fitch, who's in San Francisco. Asa, these days when we talk about Microsoft, it's about its cloud business. How big was cloud revenue growth for the quarter?
It was very strong. It was at 39% overall, and it just underlines that many businesses in the U.S. and globally are moving from doing a lot of business on their own systems into cloud computing, where they do computing on remote systems.
Yeah, we're talking about companies like AT&T, which I believe announced two cloud deals with one company, including Microsoft.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is a good example of a large business that's undergoing a digital transformation. I mean, it's a long-term move toward doing more stuff online rather than doing it in-house. And Microsoft is a big beneficiary of this. IBM also hopes to benefit from the same transition.
And, you know, in Microsoft's case, we're talking about cloud versions of its Office suite and other programs. Which demand for Microsoft's cloud is bigger, that from individuals or businesses?
the real opportunity here is from businesses. I mean, obviously, many people want to buy the Office suite, Microsoft's Office, Word and Outlook and other things like that. But the real opportunity there, the real opportunity for profits there is when you sell it to large businesses that have many, many users. And, you know, those are big contracts. Companies the likes of AT&T might buy contracts and use that software. It's not to say that individuals aren't a source of revenue. Of course they are, but the main source of potential profit there is from the corporate customers.
Has Azure been a big seller for Microsoft as well?
Yeah, Azure is what people call a public cloud service. So it's kind of a way for companies and individuals to rent computing power and use it for whatever they want to use it for online. And so and that's a huge source of growth for Microsoft. They're still behind AWS, Amazon's, which is Amazon's quote-unquote public cloud service. But they're in second place, and they're gaining. They're gaining share, and they're growing fast. Azure, in its most recent quarter, grew at a rate of above 60%. So that rate has been sort of slowing a little bit in recent quarters, but it's still very healthy.
And as we briefly mentioned, you know, cloud has revolutionized computing for quite a few years now. Companies would rather subscribe for software or, you know, rent other companies' servers instead of buying applications that run on their own servers.
It's cheaper. It's less of a hassle. It's companies just deciding that they don't want the overhead of having their own IT teams doing all this kind of stuff. They would rather sort of farm it out to somebody else. It saves money in the end for a lot of these companies, so it makes a lot of sense financially. That's not to say, of course, that large companies don't have IT teams. Of course, they do, but this kind of reduces that overhead, the amount of money you have to spend on those kinds of things, and that's part of the big benefit for Microsoft.
Microsoft has made an amazing transformation from primarily a software company to a cloud services company. Weren't a lot of people disparaging Microsoft not long ago as, you know, a has-been?
Yeah, I mean, since the arrival of the CEO, the new CEO, not new anymore, but since 2014, Satya Nadella, the company has really transformed itself from, you know, a company that had been tied to the success or failure of the Windows operating system, largely, to one that's much more diversified and much more enmeshed in the cloud computing world and that opportunity. So yeah, I mean, in the past decade or so, and especially in the past 5 years or so, it's really kind of become a different company. And investors have rewarded that. I mean, it's worth now more than $1 trillion. It's the largest or the most valuable public company in the world.
I guess people may have written them off at one point because they sort of missed the smartphone revolution.
Yeah, that was sort of an inflection point that they missed, and they tried some things in that space, and they didn't work out. But, you know, this latest pivot 5 years ago or more gradually into cloud and other stuff like that has really paid off for the company.
Wall Street Journal reporter Asa Fitch joining us from San Francisco. Thanks, Asa.
Thank you.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.